All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in, well, just about everything. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. It's my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, how are you doing this week?
I'm good, you know. Did some 4th of July celebrations with the family, except none of us actually, like, celebrated the 4th of July. We kind of just hung out, but everyone around us was shooting fireworks. So
are fireworks legal? I assume where you're at, it's wet up there.
Oh, yeah. There's no risk of... And I was over on the Olympic Peninsula, so it was just... People were just shooting them from their houses. Mm-hmm. So, which is, if you did that in Reading, I would be like, okay, we're sending the police to kill you. You know, you'll burn down the entire county. But
oh, yeah, it's fully illegal here. And, you know, I'm talking to Joe, a friend of ours we both used to work
sure,
with.
Sure, yeah.
And he sends me a picture of his kitchen counter, and I swear to God, it's like 3.5 feet wide by like 2 feet tall of fireworks that he's planning on setting off in his Tennessee yard. And he sends it to me.
Well,
and
it's pretty wet there, too.
Right. I'm just all, fireworks are illegal here to the point that I don't even have a barbecue because I don't want to freak my neighbors out.
Right.
You know,
yeah, no, because
I like
the
barbecue.
In Ashland,
so,
right?
You know, yeah.
Ashland's more similar to Reading in that respect. It gets big fires and stuff.
Right, so I'm sure there's like half the people in the audience are going like, oh yeah, no barbecue, good idea. And the other half of the people in the audience are going like, fight for your freedom, barbecue for every person, you know? And don't get me wrong, I go through both arguments. It's like, I'm not going to light my yard on fire cooking a hot dog. But they're going to smell the smoke, and instead of smelling a good taste of
right,
hot dog,
no, I mean, you can probably barbecue things. Just
right,
like,
right.
You know, yeah. Blast explosives in the air, maybe.
Also, I was going to point out, we'll make this quick because nobody on the radio can see it, but my wife is painting a picture, and it has been placed in some sort of weird artistic square around my head that I've decided to leave for the show because I think it's pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah, it looks like a halo.
Yeah, when I sat down, I'm all like, huh, looks like I did that on purpose. We're going to keep that. My other new news is I need to figure out which one of my pills melts instantly when I put it in my mouth. Because just before this, I took my pills that I take for a day. I'm old and fat. I got a handful of pills. And one of them seems to, like, instantly melt when it hits my tongue. And I'm going to have to take that one separately because I can still taste it in my mouth.
Well,
if I look disgusted, it's not.
I couldn't, you know, if you were worried, oh, God, I put a dissolving pill in my mouth and she knows. rest easy. It hadn't occurred to me.
And the final thing that I was going to tell you about is I've been de-radicalizing my dog. Have I told you about this?
De-radicalizing your dog? Why?
Yeah. Well, my wife has been accidentally turning my dog into a radical feminist. So every morning, well, you might not agree once I finish this. It was meant more to be funny than to support the radical feminist movement. But every morning she watches Good Morning America and the local news, get the weather, do the thing. And then she leaves and goes to work and we leave the TV on for the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Well, every day I come in and, like, Iggy is, like, sitting on the couch, like, staring at the TV, like, as The View is on. And so my dog's been watching The View every day. And so I've been joking about how my dog's being radicalized by watching The View. So I've been going in there and changing the channel to Star Trek The Next Generation to see if Terry notices. Not that she cares, but I think it's funny.
You're raising a very sort of... You're going to raise a dog with a weird esoteric panoply of beliefs. That's
what you have no idea that the Star Trek The Next Generation wasn't on today, and I was in a hurry, so I just left him on Red Dawn.
Okay. Well, you're raising a feminist, socialist, cold warrior. So good luck with that, I guess.
Which nobody likes in peacetime. But, man, when the war breaks out, that's what we're all going to be looking for. And
no, well, because he's a cold warrior.
For what I did to my dog. What?
He's a cold warrior. He's not a hot warrior. If you want that, you got to give him, I don't know, World War II movies. I can't think of one.
Well, I want him to
Private have... Ryan, maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, I want him to have a sense of social, you know, value.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's important.
Saving Private Ryan was all about killing a bunch of dudes to go in and get one dude because a bunch of other dudes had already been killed. That's basically the plot of the movie.
I haven't watched it, so I don't
okay,
know.
Okay, here's the plot of the movie. There are four brothers. Three of the brothers have been killed in battle, and so sure. part of the government's deal at the time was this mom only had one kid left, and they sent in a group of people to get Private Ryan out because all of his brothers had been killed. In the process... they killed some even more guys trying to get Private Ryan out. So basically, dudes died. They sent in a guy to get the dude because the other dudes had died and killed more dudes in the process.
Okay, well, but
the pragmatist in me thinks like maybe that wasn't the best call, but the you know, the survival of the human spirit guy in me thought it was absolutely awesome.
Right. Do you want to hear about news?
Yeah, fine.
Okay, so a mysterious rocket hit the moon, causing a, you probably heard about this, a strange sort of double crater impact pattern. And
I didn't hear this at all.
Oh, well, the kicker is no one knows where the rocket came from or what exactly hit the moon. That is to say, NASA is not sure. Leading theory at the time is there was a Chinese, like, launch and so like some rocket parts, and the time frame sort of matches up, but the Chinese are saying the rocket pieces that could have crashed into the moon are still in orbit, so that's, it's possible, and it's like there's some issues with that just in terms of like logistics and timing, but that's like the most likely thing is it was that, but as far as we know right now, random rocket impact on moon. So,
but we know they were
aliens,
so it couldn't just be parts. I mean, if we knew it was rockets, I mean, it was obviously
like,
rocket shaped, right?
Okay. Well, I say like we didn't see what hit them.
So we're assuming that it's rockets when we say rocket parts.
Yeah, and when I say rockets, I mean just like man-made
chunks
space
of
projectiles, right? Like I don't. It wasn't meteors. That's what we know.
Gotcha.
You know?
Gotcha. Yeah, interesting. You know, that really just comes down to two possibilities, Wakanda or the Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, I'm leaning on the Umbrella Academy here. We've got a couple of moon stories.
Yeah, we haven't heard much from Wakanda in like 5 years. It's obviously the Umbrella Academy.
Well, they're going through an economic downturn because the price of vibranium has dropped, and that's tanked their entire economy.
Totally.
They're like an oil state just with vibranium, so...
Turns out vibranium also causes cancer.
Exactly. So, you know, it's the vibration absorbent. Think what that's doing to your body.
Mm-hmm.
But,
you know, that is interesting, though, that nobody's, like, claiming it. Because, like, space-faring countries, not even space-faring, but space-shooting stuff up to countries are not a lot. There's not a lot of them. There's the EU, there's us, there's China, there's... little bit going on in India and maybe one or two other countries. That's about it, right?
Yeah, I can't remember South Africa as a thing. They might.
Right. But then now there's private companies, so you never know if there's some sort of like weird oil baron rich guy in the Middle East or diamond rich guy in Africa somewhere that we wouldn't even think about. But I mean, if a guy like Elon Musk can afford this stuff, while he is super rich and while Bezos is super rich, there are some freaky old money people out there in rare earth and gems and all sorts of other stuff.
Some kind of De Beers heir has flown their spaceship on the moon. See, I hope it's like a Bond villain type thing.
Totally.
I hope, you know, they're establishing a moon arc on the moon for all of the, like... I don't know, animals and stuff, and they're going to blow up the Earth with a toxin or something. I don't know. I'm sure that there's some James Bond movie like that.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, purely for potential ratings for us, I hope it's Moon Nazis. But you know,
it could be Moon Nazis. And, in fact, you heard it here first. It's definitely Moon Nazis. All other explanations are sort of mainstream media propaganda.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland. You're such a puppet, man. The whole moon Nazi story is obviously just to draw attention away from Biden's failures.
Moon Nazis. Okay.
All right. Let's keep it going with some...
Yeah. Biden harshly condemned the moon Nazis by saying, they might be bad.
There are very good people on the moon and Earth. Most sides.
Yeah. That's more Trump, but Biden would just be like, yep, there's some moon Nazis.
Right.
How about that? That's kind of Biden's level. But, yes, still talking about the moon, a private collector tried to auction off moon dust that had been fed to cockroaches and was subsequently pooped out during NASA experiments. So this collector basically got their hands on the cockroaches and tried to auction off the moon dust that was, like, inside their little cockroach bodies. And,
yeah, so I'm curious, what did he get? Did he get... Now, I know you might not know this, because I read some of this, and I couldn't glean the answer.
The story was super vague.
Did he have the cockroaches and then, like, harvest the poop from the roaches, or did he, like, have, like, a collection of the poop? You know, it's like, I'm not sure how you ask that without sounding like a freak, but, you know.
Yeah. No, it sounds to me like he had the roaches, but I'm not totally sure. I think.
Well, then how can you be sure that, you know, it's like... You know, you eat a steak and it's in there for hours. You eat a salad and it feels like it's in there for minutes. I mean, how long does moon dust last in a cockroach's colon? That's what I mean.
Well, it's not like they did these experiments in, you know, the 70s. They have moon dust and the experiments are ongoing.
Right.
It's probably like a recent experiment. But it, like you said, it's sort of unclear, and I wasn't able to determine exactly what happened either. But the kicker is that NASA is saying that this auction is illegal, and you absolutely cannot auction off moon dust because it all belongs to NASA and the Apollo programs, which is probably what's going to end up, you know, holding up in court.
Well, and I don't think it's arguable. I mean, prior to the last story, when a rocket landed on there, I don't think it was arguable that somebody else had gotten the cockroach moon poop. It was obviously NASA that got it. I mean,
yeah,
we are, and we've only done it a handful of times, the only ones who've ever walked on the moon.
Sure, yeah.
So, where else are you going to get moon roaches? I mean, come on, let's be realistic.
Yeah, there's, I mean, they could crash on the planet in a freaky asteroid, and then moon roaches could come crawling out and bite people and infect them with some kind of moon virus.
Yeah, Starship Trooper style or something.
Exactly.
There is one part of this, though, that I really was kind of curious about, and that was, and this kind of goes to show you the kind of world that we live in when they report on the story and all anybody cares about is the money at Sotheby's or Christie's for the cockroach moon dust poop, when really I was kind of curious what happened to the roaches. I mean, can a roach, basically moon dust, unlike dust on Earth, has no biological matter in it whatsoever. So I'm kind of curious, you know, about the actual scientific implications of this article. And there wasn't any of that.
I mean, if you just eat chalk, right?
Right.
It's not going to kill you. It'll pass through your system.
Right, but will roaches survive on it? That's kind of, you know, well, I assume they fed it to roaches because roaches can, like, live through anything. And I was wondering, like, okay, well, if you're going to torture a roach, at least tell us the outcome, you know?
Yeah, I suspect the roaches survived. I don't see why they would be, like, killed by
They might have starved to death.
I mean, did the article say they were, like, only feeding the roaches moon dust?
No, but that's what I wanted to know. I wanted to know some of the scientific background of the actual of the actual thing, but the article didn't cover that.
No, I don't know
what
the moon dust roach experiment was actually trying
to do. I mean, I don't expect you to go out and be an investigative journalist and find this stuff.
I called a bunch of NASA employees, but they weren't really interested in talking about the roach poop.
Yeah, that's
funny. So we have a thing that you brought on, because you wanted to talk about mummies and how people ate them.
I just saw that and thought that was absolutely crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so as I understand it, like, the Egyptian sort of ancient Egyptian civilization was around for, God, like 2,000 or 3,000 years, right? An incredibly long amount of time. Mm. And so spiritual beliefs evolved a lot. And so for a long time, sort of during the heyday of mummies, people were being mummified as a way to, basically it was thought that, like, what happened to your body sort of affected, you know, the stuff that would happen to your soul in your afterlife.
Sure, the West kind of has this attitude, too, with all the embalming and putting it in a
mummy.
Yeah.
Yeah, although, I don't know that we have those same, like, specific religious beliefs, but I guess, you know, like, we kind of did, because, like, in the medieval era, when people like Da Vinci were doing dissections on cadavers, that was a huge no-no, because it was thought that all the dead bodies would be resurrected after, like, Jesus came back. So, you don't want anyone getting resurrected without their guts. You'd think Jesus would be able to solve that, too, but maybe he's just reanimating the bodies in whatever shape they're in, which is horrifying. Anyway, my point is, spiritual beliefs evolved. Egypt hit some hard times. People started eating the mummies.
Okay. Egypt hit some hard times. Is the implication with that they were hungry and they turned to mummy eating? Because, like,
well, kinda. It was cheap meat, but it was also advertised as a solution for... It was advertised as basically a medicine, right? As a panacea for all these various different things. Uh-huh. But I suspect the fact that, like, there's calories in there, you know, was not completely immaterial, right?
So it was like some snake oil salesman going, come get your fresh...
It was very much right. Yeah, you know, mummy.
Gather around, get your mummy.
Well, yeah, because mummies were thought to, in general, have kind of all these mystical...
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of the conduit between life and death. It's the flesh of a king, and, you know, like with many ancient civilizations, these pharaohs were thought to have been, ultimately, if you go back far enough, like, descended from the divine.
Right.
So, I think there were a lot of reasons why people might want to eat that. But unlike, you know, Your Christians who have the decency to merely pretend that the communion is, like, the flesh, they're totally just eating dead people.
Holy smokes. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know exactly how long this lasted, I think.
Oh, I would assume it's probably going on somewhere today. I mean, there's all sorts of weird... You know, it's probably just like everything else, and people just use it as an aphrodisiac now. That's what we've gotten rid of tons of, like, weird old medicines. I mean, there's quite a few that also work. I'm not trying to come down on that. But it seems like all the, like, weird ones that have stuck around have only stuck around because they're aphrodisiacs.
Sure, yeah. And it's, you know, it's always just the most rare, least responsible to obtain thing you can think of. You know, it's like the horn of a still living rhino. You know, it's, let's eat mummies. There's like four left in the entire world, so let's start eating them, kind of thing. Yeah, but I think this whole craze lasted like a few centuries, so not that long.
A few centuries. Okay, so if you think about the amount of kings that there are, and you think that these are snake oil salesmen that are going to sell the mummy to these people.
Sure.
You know there was an issue with imitation mummy.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I don't know how they would know, right?
Well, I assume you just...
You grind it up.
Put a little under your tongue and see if it tastes like real mummy.
Yeah, you totally get mummy dealers who...
You
know,
you gotta stab into the package and be all...
Ah, that's fresh mummy.
Meet at the sketchy mummy deal in the scrapyard, and it's like, you trying to fleece me? This is mule.
Yeah, decomposing mule.
And you have a big shootout over the mummy deal gone bad. Later, the FDA rolls up. Like, another
this
mummy
was grass-fed.
Exactly.
Mummy
we still haven't found the mummy kingpin. Turned out to be a chemistry teacher.
Oh, yeah, that'd be funny. Yeah.
Anyway, that's all about mummies.
I am glad you brought that to me, though, because I was super curious about that. I'm like, ew. But people are gross. People are just gross. I mean, we're gross. I look at society now, even things I do, and I'm just like, we're gross, man. We do some weird stuff.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
Speaking of ancient, wizened bodies, totally, you know, devoid of life, shriveled and dried, that are nonetheless inscribed with mystical powers and invested with importance far beyond what they deserve. Let's talk about the Supreme Court.
Which part?
Well, there was a flurry of decisions last week, and the week before. The abortion one, of course. There was a one about guns. There was one about the EPA. I feel like pretty much all the left-wing people I know in my life, which is everyone I know in my life, are pretty upset. I don't know how you were feeling. I thought we would have a powwow, sort of vent our feelings about
this. Well, some of these I just feel supportive on. You know, when it comes to women's rights and abortion, I, you know, part of the problem is a bunch of people getting invested in other people's lives, and as a non-baby and carrying guy, I have been on the male side of having kids and on the male side of getting the abortion, of driving to the place, of being a part with somebody that maybe I've split up with. You know, there's been some weird histories in there, and my life would be very different. But ultimately, it comes down to, I mean, you know where I stand on this. It's that we live in a society that doesn't care about life, and you're going to care about this one for 5 minutes until it's born, and then you're not going to give a rat's ass about it. It's like, come on now. You're talking about killing other countries. You're talking about stoning people in the streets because they made a mistake. You're talking about capital punishment. We're talking about bombing Afghanistan into turning the sand to glass. I mean, we're just a hateful, hateful people. And then all of a sudden for 5 minutes, you want to come to me and be all like, oh, but who will think about the children? And I'm all, for 5 minutes, apparently. But, you know, it's I don't know. My general theory on it and is that we're going to be arguing with people who claim to be constitutionalists.
Sure.
So my constitutionalist argument is that a U.S. citizen is born on U.S. soil, and a baby ain't born yet, but a woman was. Sorry, the baby just lost the U.S. citizen battle. Consider the vagina to be like the southern border. Until you're across it and filled out the proper paperwork, you're kind of screwed on constitutional rights. So that's my final constitutional argument.
Not the take I expect them today, but okay. Yeah.
To say.
That's not the take I expected today, but I'm into it. Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, the vagina is the southern border.
Yeah.
Is, constitutionally speaking, legally speaking. Yeah.
You're going to cross it and fill out the paperwork. Until then, you just don't get the perks. You know, this is the same people making the same argument, and it says it right there in the Constitution, born on U.S. soil.
Yeah.
Ain't born yet.
So I believe that the argument they made with regard to Roe was basically the original Roe decision said, yeah, you have a right to privacy. That's implied by all these other rights. And the new Roe decision says basically, no, you don't. For me, it's my big issue with this is that the thing we ask Supreme Court justices to do, which is look into the past, look into the distant past and the hearts and minds and souls of the founding fathers and divine what it is they believed, is not possible. you know, regardless of who you are, I don't care how much legal training you have, like, that's not a real thing. But we all assume, and that's my whole problem with just constitutional originalism in general, is, like, isn't it funny how what you think the Founding Fathers wanted always coincides with, like, what your political beliefs are, right?
Oh, sure, it's like biblical interpretation. And
sure, well...
pretty much the interpretation of everything. I probably just shouldn't put it on politics and religion, but sorry.
Continue. Yeah, but, well, because, like, both sides constantly do the thing of, like, this is implied by that, right, in the Constitution. You know, neither side is doing strictly only what is written in the Constitution, because I don't know if people know this, but the Constitution's pretty short. And straight up just doesn't address most topics. So if you did it that way...
statistically, you're going to find this shocking, but I've actually read it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I think I have too, but I mean, it was in high school. But, so, like, ultimately, I don't know that our Supreme Court is really different than just 9 lawmakers with lifetime terms, you know, because they always vote their politics, basically, with a few exceptions. You know, they're not up on, like, the general political trends. You know, they're not chasing what's trendy because they don't have to get reelected. But in general, they have political beliefs. And, you know, that was true when they were making decisions I liked, like the gay marriage decision, and that's true now when they're making decisions I hate. And it's like, It really comes into sharp focus because our legislative branch straight up doesn't work. So, most of the, like, really substantial things that have happened in, like, the last 15 years have been Supreme Court cases. Because that's the government.
Right.
Right. That's the part of our government that is able to respond in any measure to any of the big issues, right? So it's kind of a bad system, I think. And other countries have courts. You know, every country has a highest court in the land, but ours has much more power than most.
Yeah, countries. Yeah. I do. Well, let me speak to this. It's hard. It's hard to speak to it because I'm a, you know, male, and I find on a purely political level, not on a person level, of course, a decision against women affects a lot more people than a decision against homosexuals or gays or anything.
Well,
like
sure,
that.
Yeah.
But I find revoking gay marriage from a constitutional right to be much more terrifying than revoking abortion. Now, we're the only ones who had abortion in our constitution. All these other countries that we look to, they all voted it in. They voted it in through their parliaments, through their legislation, so on and so forth. Yeah. So, you know, the sad part is we just don't have the votes for that, and that's scary. You know, surely if we were solely popular vote, maybe we would, but also at the same time, you know, we just had Trump in there who was a populist, and you could see where chasing popular ideas got our...
Yeah, well, Trump wasn't...
Well, I don't pretend to understand that, but I do feel that taking
he
away...
He was a populist with respect to the 30% of the population that voted for him, right?
To the people who were butt-kissers, but
basically, all of his platform ideas were immensely unpopular with, you know, the broad public, but, like, that's not, you know...
Well, my point is, I get in abortion while I'm totally fine with abortion, And people might go, oh, this, that, and the other thing. I am literally totally fine with abortion. I don't have a problem with it at all. But I get why it's more of a debatable topic than somebody's right to marry another human being that is.
Right, yeah.
I find that much more terrifying as a just hardcore move to we are going to. And so I'm scared of that. I mean.
Yeah.
And this makes me scared of that because I think it's ridiculous because, for one, we rolled back abortion rights. It puts us in the same – it puts us in some really weird company. There's, like, only three other countries in all of history that have rolled back their abortion rights, and it's not really countries that we want to be in the group with. You know, we don't want to go to the G4 with Nicaragua and a few other countries that have like had some serious governmental problems, you know.
Yeah. I think I would define what we have as serious governmental problems.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, which is what you were saying. Yeah.
But it's hard to decide what to do. I don't know what to do, like packing the Supreme Court. One thing that terrifies me is that we seem to live in a world where have all this time since 1776 has our entire government and economic structure solely been based on the fact that we had faith in it, and now that the faith is gone, it's all just going away.
I think that's a very interesting question. I think, well, here's some things about that. The early United States, even after the Constitution was established, you know that there was the Articles of Confederation for 10 years, and that didn't work, really. But, so, we had independence, we had the Articles, they didn't work, we established a new system of government with the Constitution. Honestly, that didn't really work either. We just muddled along. Because, the thing is, we had rights of freedom to speech, freedom of religion, etc. Within the first decade, we're passing the Alien and Sedition Act, which basically says, actually, you don't have those two things. Eventually, those got rolled back, but, initially, the Constitution kind of had no teeth, and the early United States was just like every other early country in the world, was incredibly chaotic, and we kind of only survived because we could provide a constant influx of land to settlers by taking Native American land with our superior weapons technology, and because the only other people who could threaten us were an ocean cat.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
HGA, come out and play. Have you see the bill we all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us. There's something in you that just makes you... So in that second one, it makes me think of that one. In the first one, it just makes me think tons of cool horror.
Right, yeah.
I feel for the people going through this, but, you know, you got to get your kicks where you can.
No, it's super rare anyway, so right. Who cares?
Yeah. That is... What?
That was a joke, by the way.
Oh.
But, yeah, these both freak me out and are also very cool in equal measure to me. Just because I didn't even realize that was a thing our brain sort of had to do.
Identify
the thing is the thing. But apparently there's sort of a mechanism for that and it can break.
Right, right. You know, I mean, part of me is thinking, Kara, you're sick in the head for thinking how cool this is. But the other half part of
it is cool, Chauncey.
No.
You think it's cool, too.
I do think it's cool, too. there's two aspects of why it's cool. There's the obvious, yeah. Chauncey and Kara are sick in the brain, and it's sure, horrific course, and terrifying and led to probably tons of folklore over the years. But the other half is I'm kind of impressed that the human brain can do this.
Right? Yeah.
You know, that we're not so hardwired. You know, it's weird that you can flick one switch but still have a functioning. It seems like both of those are pretty important switches.
Right.
I don't know. Surely you get where I'm coming with this.
No, well, yeah, it implies a level of complexity to the mind.
Right, yes,
that is
exactly.
Even beyond them, what I think most people sort of think. Right?
And right.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of other disorders in this category. They're even rarer, but these are sort of the most cool, too, which is why I want to focus on them.
Well, I got to say sorry, am I cutting you off?
Well, I was just wanted to say, sort of the prognosis for these, they either last forever or they clear up on their own.
Oh, wow.
There's no cure, so it's just kind of, hope they snap out of it.
Well, that's kind of the case with OCD, too, is that it's right. More cognitive behavioral therapy to get you out of it than it is any sort of medication that we know of at this point really helps.
Right, but it's not clear that therapy is also super helpful for these. Like, to a certain extent, you can teach people to manage it, but, like, these are really debilitating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, it's, there's not super much you can do about either of these.
Now, so over the years, my view of the term conspiracy theorist has changed quite drastically, because originally, when we first started this show, I would have called myself that. Or I would have sort of put myself in that camp. But as this has gone on, I'd like to consider myself more of a conspiracy enthusiast.
Yeah.
I find them all very interesting and not only interesting about the scientific aspects, but also interesting about the potential spooky aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I can't help but to think is that for the, you know, infectious paranormal murder demon fan in me, is that this is entirely invented in order to cover up actual paranormal problems that people face in this world because it is so incredibly rare.
Right. So we're saying that the people who have been transformed into ghouls or vampires or whatever, oh, they think they have Cotard syndrome. Get them out of public view.
Have you seen the taking of Deborah Logan?
No.
It's like a found footage movie about an old woman that might be possessed.
Oh, no, I haven't seen it. But
okay, I'm not telling you anything else. Watch that. But
yeah.
But yeah.
But it, also, Cap Gras delusion is like totally, everyone has been replaced. Like, it's a end of the world, that movie with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, where everyone in the town was replaced by these sort of replicant things.
Right. Like, oh, right. Yeah, End of the World, the pub crawl one. Yeah.
So, yeah, both of these are, could be, yeah, covers for freaky conspiracies.
Well, like in Justice League Dark is a good example. It also happened in other comics that I can think of, probably other movies where basically people are touched or a spell is put on them so that they think everyone around them is an enemy and they end up fighting everybody around them until they come clear and realize that they killed their pregnant wife or, you know, whatever stuff, you know, so that's where I was going with the infectious murder demon.
Oh, yeah.
There's a great episode of The X-Files about, or I think probably a better example would be that movie Fallen. You see Fallen? No. With Denzel Washington, about a demon that passes through touch. That's a great movie. Right up your
alley.
And
there's an episode of Angel that's like the same thing. Kind of.
An episode of what?
Angel. The Buffy spin-off.
Oh, right, yeah. I'm not surprised. Believe me, I've seen every episode. I'm not proud of it, but I've seen every episode. and then the other one where you think you're dead.
Yeah.
Is that tied to zombieism?
I mean, yeah, I guess.
Because supposedly
Well, a lot of
zombieism.
Times people who have this think that they are rotting inside. They have been beliefs about, like, my body is cold, and it's like, you can take their temperature, and it's like, okay, well, the thermometer's wrong, you know.
I see. It's less mindless, spiritual, and more fear-based.
Sorry, what was that?
It's less mindless, spiritual, like the zombie would be, and more fear-based, like I'm rotting on the inside, and nobody can help me.
I mean, since these people's other functions aren't impaired, like, they do, they have their minds, so they're not mindless zombies. They might think they are. Sometimes they think they don't exist. Sometimes they say they don't have a soul. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. But, it is still happening to people who are clearly intelligent and aware of everything except the fact that they're still alive. So,
absolutely. I've known people who were very intelligent that had detachment issues to the point where they really sort of had to remind themselves that reality was real and that they were a part of it. And it didn't have anything to do with being stupid or uneducated. It was purely nuttiness. I don't think that's a PC term, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, there are other disorders, you know, there are forms of schizophrenia and stuff where the person is, like, not only do they have delusional beliefs, but they sort of can't, they can't have a conversation, you know? Mm-hmm. But that's not this. With Cotard syndrome, that tends to be, like, the thing that is wrong. I don't know if it can be comorbid with other things, but in general, the person is perfectly functional, except insofar that they think they're a zombie.
Takes all kinds.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've thought about this with the multiple personalities, you know. Because it's so incredibly rare, yet we've all known somebody who said they had it.
I have.
And then I don't know, demon possession, man. I keep coming back to it.
Yeah, in your professional opinion, we're dealing with some cases of demon possession here. You know what?
And to be fair, I have as
doesn't
much
really
demon
understand
PhD
you,
so. As anybody out there. I have as much of a demon PhD as anybody. Seeing how that doesn't exist.
Yeah. Well, you know, people are weird.
Okay, well, I'll end it with this to tell you exactly how difficult this can be for people. Sure. You were talking about schizophrenia.
Uh-huh.
I've known a guy, a friend of a family member, who wore an eye patch. And he was just always quiet, came to dinner functions and super medicated up in the corner because he had schizophrenia. Very bad, obviously, because he had to be medicated.
Yeah, it can be more or less functional, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And it turns out when how he lost his eye is he thought that God told him to pluck it out, and he did with his bare hand.
Yeah.
Yep.
I hate that.
Yeah. Well, figured I'd end it on it. You know, so
note.
Right. So care about those who are hurt.
I like how our structure for this episode was the moon, mummies, political tangent where I advocate for the communist overthrow of the United States government, yeah. And now demons?
Yeah, and nonfiction body horror.
Right.
All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. It's been great. I've been great. Kara's been great. You've been all right. See you next time.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us. What shall we do about them?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. The news from